Missing minerals? 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's missing, naturally supporting mood, energy, and immunity. Get yours now at TraceMinerals.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing for Real Clear Politics, about the American Constitution then and now. You will note that these last years, the American Constitution has not prevented America being divided sharply between camps that are apparently willing to hurt each other in order to win power. That would be the presidency, the Congress, mayor races, everywhere. There's a no rules dictation for all parties, for everyone. You do what you need to do to win. Now, there is another vision of America, and Peter introduces me to a new book. I have not read it. Peter is reviewing it. American Covenant, How the Constitution Unified Our Nation and Could Again. This is by a man named Yuval Levine. He is an Israeli born. However, he is a very careful speaker about the American Constitution as inspiration to all of the world's democracies. America is the oldest and right now the most troubled among democracies because of our balance between the major parties. They both can raise a great deal of money, and that's a lot of battle. Peter, a very good evening to you. How would you characterize right now the American democracy and the way the Constitution is defined? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I would characterize American constitutional politics today as disunified, deeply disunified, and because disunified, dysfunctional. Many of our fellow citizens despise one another, and this goes for men and women on the left despising those on the right, men and women on the right despising the left. And I regard it as a urgent political task to lower the heat and recreate grounds on which not that people can agree, but that people can work together despite their disagreements.
To the 18th century, to the founders and their worldview of what the Constitution must achieve, there are three departments, the legislative, the executive, and the judiciary. Now, that today turns into a battle between the judiciary, said to be in the hands of one faction, the legislative, divided between two factions, and the executive in the hands quite dominantly of one faction, and they're all battling each other. How did the founders think of those three departments?
Well, they thought of each of the three departments as possessing specific powers, as both depending upon and encouraging certain virtues, and as having the ability to check the excesses of the other two. But our departments are no longer working as they once did. Congress has delegated a great deal of lawmaking power to the administrative state. The president has assumed lawmaking powers through proliferation of executive actions. The Supreme Court can hardly handle all of the divisive controversies that come before it. So that in the original vision, the separation of powers, federalism, and other devices were intended to, between the branches, promote negotiation, encourage accommodation, cultivate coalition building. But the branches not only are not doing that anymore in their separate workings, all three are promoting disunity.
Yes, disunity seems to be an advantage in some fashion. It certainly does raise money when there's contretemps. I notice a recent court decision in New York led to one party boasting about how much money it had raised that night from what apparently was not understood as good news as opposed to bad news. The conviction is always bad news. Back to the beginning, seeking unity. How was it imagined by the founders? They were coming out of two Continental Congresses in which there had not been a whole lot of unity, a lot of disagreement, a lot of compromise. And they were also imagining a world where they had to deal with kingships. they were a democracy, a republic, before there was any match to them in the world. So how did they see the way to work together in a world of threat?
You know, the intellectual prejudices and popular conceptions on campus these days blind us to the realities with which the founding generation dealt. They experienced themselves as having to wrestle also with the problem of disunity. In what sense disunity? Well, America was made up of rival and disputatious Christian, mostly Protestant sects. They disagreed about a lot. Our professors, our intellectuals, tend to see that as an era of white men's domination. That's not how they experienced. They experienced as, yes, of course, white men exercise power, but they understood that America was composed of many diverse communities. And so the political task would be to find a way to govern in which nobody was required to give up his or her religious views. The government would not impose religious views, but people would be able to work together because they had some fundamental beliefs in common, such as individual rights, consent of the governed, and the arrangement of government offices would help them slow down debate, cool tempers, and reach agreements about public policy while continuing to disagree about ultimate salvation and the highest human good.
Let me recover what I can of the writing of the Constitution. There were two states that were more powerful than all the rest of the 13, and that was New York and Virginia. And New York was associated with what you'd have to say what becomes federalism. A unified government in the hands of Washington or whatever would have been the capital. It was New York, it was Philadelphia, and then eventually it was Washington. The Virginians were associated with Thomas Jefferson's understanding of state powers being matching in some fashion the powers of the central government, so that whatever the central government didn't take for its own was left to the states. Two different visions. And it was very difficult to work out. How did they work it out, Peter? Because ordinarily you would expect there to be no compromise between two well-to-do states that saw the future completely differently.
Well, the Constitution worked out that division, that controversy, as it worked out a number of other controversies or divisions through compromise. To take just one example, we have not a unicameral but a bicameral legislature. The two houses of our Congress, the House and the Senate, are based upon different theories of representation. The House states are represented in terms of the size of their population. In the Senate, each is represented based on equality. Each state gets two representatives. Moreover, and going more directly to your question, we have a federal system. In the federal system, the federal government exercises some basic powers, protecting individual rights, regulating commerce, providing for the general welfare, the common defense. But the states exercise a wide range of powers so that New York can govern its citizens one way, Virginia can govern its citizens in another way, with the federal government, again, in charge of the biggest matters, but each state in charge of many of the matters that touch most directly on its own citizens. Another compromise.
That was the way it was designed, and I believe that Mr. Levin's book, American Covenant, How the Constitution Unified Our Nation and Could Again, that leaves out the bit in between. It is not now. Because what I heard in your presentation of how the states compromise, I hear no compromise today. The federal government is all powerful and it uses the power of the regulatory agencies, of its departments, of its many laws to overwhelm the states so that the states have fewer and fewer decisions to make and less room to negotiate. Now, that is a source of tension, so much so that leads us to the red and blue states. Isn't that where that idea that the federal government is overpowerful and we have the red states following Thomas Jefferson and the blue states following Alexander Hamilton. Isn't that what it's come to? No compromise?
Well, it's come to that, and we need to add one dimension to explain how it's come to that. One important factor, it's an important factor that Levin emphasizes, is the entrance into our politics in the late 19th century, then in a big way at the beginning of 20th century, of progressivism. Progressivism, the progressive policy agenda involves a remaking of the Constitution. It involves overcoming the constitutional separation of powers. It involves overcoming the division of labor between the federal and state governments so that a supposedly disinterested and unconstrained technocratic elite can govern the whole of the United States from Washington. It will concentrate powers in Washington. It will expand the administrative state. And through these means, it gets rid of the messy give and take that's contrived by the Constitution to promote compromise. But having gotten rid of the messy give and take, progressives are in a position to impose a unified view on the whole nation.
Those are the experts. I believe that the Rockefellers discovered them around 1910. and the Republicans fell for it as well. They were the progressive version. Eventually, we became to Herbert Hoover, the expert. And people were hiring experts at all levels. Did that mislead us, Peter?
Well, I think it did, because no expert situated in Washington, D.C. has the expertise that would allow him or her to lay down a single law for the entire nation. We're too diverse. We're too extensive. There are too many different views out there. Actually, the irony is that rational regulation of the United States requires depositing a good deal of regulatory power in each nation. This was the hubris of experts, not that they're not very intelligent people, but no amount of expertise could enable them to set down rulings for all the country, except on the most basic matters, such as basic fundamental rights.
I'm speaking with Peter Berkowitz. His Real Clear Politics column addresses what was and what's gone wrong and what is to be done in a new book, American Covenant, How the Constitution Unified Our Nation and Could Again by Yuval Levin. When we come back, what is to be done? What can unify us? What will work? What won't work given the atmosphere today, which is toxic? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.